This passage is a blessing for Christians because it emphasizes that we as believers, we who have the access to the throne of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ, can actually move an omnipotent God with our prayers. That's quite amazing when you think about it. That the Creator of the universe can be moved by us. That's just fascinating when you think about it. And so let's start there in verse 5 of Isaiah 45, where God says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. They may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, Why makest thou? Or thy work he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their hosts have I commanded. So command ye me is our title tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your presence tonight, for your wisdom, for your power, through your word. Lord, we come with expectant hearts tonight, and may we leave filled. We pray that Jesus Christ, our Savior, would be in our midst and be glorified. And Lord, we would just have that desire tonight to please you and to respond to your word. So we give you this service. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. So this theme, as we see in these first couple of verses about God being the only God, is kind of the theme of chapters 43 through 46. You've seen it already in a couple of passages that we've looked at, that God is emphasizing that he is the only God. There is no other God besides him. And so let's look at those real quick. Go to Isaiah 43:10. I just want to show you that in this section, 43 through 46, God really drives home this great point that he is the only God. So notice 43:10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Now 44:6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Now 44:8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And then 45:18, For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And then Isaiah 45:22, Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And then 46:9, Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. So before we get to this truth about prayer, God wants us to understand that we are praying to the only true God. We understand that, or we wouldn't be born again. That there is only one God, the Creator of the universe, and he loves us enough to reveal his will to us through his word and to redeem us through his own sacrifice. And so he wants to remind us he is the only true God. That was, if you think back, when Israel was formed, That was their number one stumbling block, wasn't it? Was this temptation to go back to the ways of the heathen and worship multiple gods. And yet we look around the world today and literally billions of people worship multiple gods. There's only one God. And He's told us so in His Word. So verse 7, He says, I form the light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Did you catch that little subtlety there? I create evil. Think about what God is saying there. Does that make God evil? No, God is holy, God is perfect, God is righteous. But God had to create the capacity for evil, or goodness and righteousness wouldn't have meant anything. If God didn't create Satan and the angels with a free choice, then they wouldn't have worshipped God of their own free will. They would have just been robots. And God, therefore, doesn't get the glory and the pleasure when His creation worships Him. Same with man. He created man initially sinless, but with the capacity to sin. And sure enough, man dove into that capacity and plunged us all into sin. But that doesn't make God evil. It means that God gave us the capacity to make that decision to do evil. But He created us for fellowship. He created us to worship Him and to please Him. And so He has restored that, praise God, through Calvary. But He wants us to understand that He is the only God and that He made everything. Everything, even evil, which is sometimes hard for us to get our heads around, but it's true. Now go to Revelation 4, where again we're reminded, Revelation 4:11, that God made every single thing. We do not believe in theistic evolution. Theistic evolution, the teaching there, because sometimes Christians want to reconcile the Bible with science, that is the teaching that God basically initiated the Big Bang, or that God established those first living amoebas with the capacity to evolve to man, and then He stood back and waited for it to happen. No, we believe that the Bible is true and that God created everything after its kind, including man. He did not create evolution. It's just a wild-eyed theory that man's come up with to push God out of the picture. He made everything. Notice Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things. Notice this last phrase. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. People often ask, why did God even make us? I had somebody ask me that just a couple weeks ago. Why did God make us? We've been such a failure to Him as a race, mankind, humankind. Right there's the answer. For His pleasure. Because that's what He wanted to do. And when we worship and praise the Lord, when we give God glory, when we serve God, that gives Him pleasure. When we fellowship with God, it brings Him pleasure. We read about God fellowshipping with Adam in the garden before the fall. Why? Because that's why God made Adam. For fellowship, for His pleasure. So God is the only God. He wants us to understand and believe that. God made everything. Not just some things, everything. And by the way, the Bible says the same thing about Jesus in John chapter 1. The Bible says, without Him was not anything made that was made. In John 1:10. Jesus Christ made everything. God made everything. God is everything. God is the only God. And so now that He's laid that groundwork, look at verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Does that sound like the world? When man comes up with these wild theories to try to push God out of the picture, he's essentially striving with his maker. He's saying, yeah, okay, I don't want to believe that I have a maker. Even though God put within me a conscience that says, when I look around at creation, there has to be a designer. I would rather ignore that and keep God out of the picture. Striving with his maker. That's man today. And we are told that in the end times, which we find ourselves in, that's just going to get worse and worse and worse. that man is just going to continue to strive with his maker, argue with his maker, essentially not acknowledge that he even has a maker, and go on his merry way to hell. He says there in verse 9, basically, if there's a potter and he makes a pot, does the pot have an argument to say, hey, you shouldn't have made me this shape. I would have rather been a different shape. And he says, how silly does that sound? And yet, how many times do people argue with God about what he's done? Has anybody ever heard the argument, a loving God wouldn't... ... We've all heard that. What is that doing? Striving with the Maker, saying God made a mistake, saying God didn't do the right thing. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 10. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? In other words, how dare you create me the way that I am? As part of your genes. It's not fair. It comes across as silly, and yet, how many times do Christians do the exact same thing? And you know, Paul actually quoted this over in the book of Romans. Let's look at that quickly if we could. Romans chapter 9, I believe it is. And verse 20. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Do we have a place to say, God, it's not fair that you gave me the capacity to sin. It's not fair that you gave me free will. It's not fair that you made me who I am. We don't have a place to say that. It all goes back to the fact that he made everything, including us, just the way he wanted us. God makes no mistakes. So, God's established this groundwork. He is the only God. He is the all-powerful God. He can do anything and everything. He made everything for his pleasure. And we have no place to argue with him because he made no mistakes. Never forget that. God has never made a mistake. So God says, having all of that groundwork, verse 11, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, that word his is referring to Israel. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. What a statement. That the creator of the universe would say to his puny creation, man, you know, as David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The Son of Man, that thou visitest him, that he would say to his creation, command ye me. Ask, tell me, and I'll answer. Isn't that just mind-boggling when you think about it? That God, through prayer, says that we have the power to move him. And we even read in the Old Testament about men that changed God's mind. Think about that. Abraham did it a couple of times. Moses did it a couple of times. A couple of times God said, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to wipe them all out, Moses. I'm going to start over with you. Now, most of us would say, well, okay, just give me a chance to get up on the mountain, get out of the way, so I can watch them all burn up, and we'll start off with wonderful me, because then we have a better human race, because they'll be mine. They'll be my descendants. No, Moses fell on his face and begged God not to do it. And God said, okay, I won't. Isn't that amazing? Me, the creator of the universe, I'm going to change my mind based on what one man says? Think about that. And we have many instances of that in the Bible. God is saying to you and I that he cares enough about us. Now, he's speaking to his children. This doesn't apply to the world. If you're not saved, you cannot claim this promise. But he's saying to us, those of us that are his children, we have access to his throne, and he wants us to ask. He wants us to. Let's look at some scriptures. Psalm 65, verse 2. And just be reminded tonight about the power of prayer. Psalm 65:2. And notice what he says. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Thou that hearest prayer. That's God. Our God is a God that hears prayer. Now look at Psalm 81:10. I love this verse. You probably do too. I probably claim this verse every day. Look what God says. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Let's be honest. Most Christians do not open their mouth wide. They'd rather pray like a little bird. God will be okay if I have this. God says, concerning the work of my hands, well, what's that? His entire creation. Command ye me. And don't be afraid to pray big. Open thy mouth wide, he says, and I will fill it. It glorifies God when we pray big. It does. Because we're saying we believe that he is all powerful and that he loves us and that he wants to answer our prayers. When we pray big, that's all good from God's perspective. And so he tells us to here. Be challenged to open your mouth wide. Pray big. Because God is a big God. Amen. Go to Proverbs 15. We'll look at another one. Verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But, Proverbs 15:8, the prayer of the upright is what? His delight. You know, we talked this morning about us delighting to do the will of God, the things that we need to delight in, delight thyself also in the Lord, and so forth. Here's something God delights in. Look what it is. Our prayers. When we get to Revelation, we actually see in heaven incense being released in heaven, and the Bible says it's the prayers of the saints. So there's even we can't completely understand it, but there's a way in which God is actually storing them up to be released during the tribulation period. Think about that. God delights in the prayers of the upright. He delights in them. Now go to the New Testament, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, where God wants us to remember that he is an unlimited God and that he loves us and that he wants to answer our prayers. Verse 9, and I say unto you, Luke 11:9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Well, I've met a few fathers that might. You probably have too. But he's saying that he implanted in each one of us a basic parental instinct to be pretty much good to our kids as much as we can, as fathers and mothers. Then he goes on to say, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a scorpion? He's asking these questions to teach us something. That parents naturally want to be good to their kids. They want to give their kids stuff, especially when they beg, right? They're tugging at our heartstrings, even though we may not show it on the outside. It's hard for us to say no to our kids. Then on verse 12, or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Sorry, I said scorpion 11, but it's serpent. Verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If you know how, as parents, to give good gifts to your own children, what about the heavenly Father? We are his children. Is he not going to be good to us? That's the point he's trying to get across. Concerning the work of my hands, concerning my entire creation, he tells us in Psalm 50, verse 10, that, well, let's look at it, that he owns absolutely everything. Psalm 50, verse 10. And he wants us to understand that since he owns everything, that he has absolutely the entire universe at his disposal. And so he says, concerning the work of my hands, which is everything, command ye me. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I think we looked at this last week where he says, the silver and the gold is mine. Everything is mine. It's all his. It all belongs to him. And now look at 1 John 5, please. Verse 14. Another New Testament reference to this great truth that the prayers of one person accessing the throne of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ can move the Creator of the universe. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Look at verse 15. And we know that He hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. He used that phrase, we know, twice there. Did you see that? We know that He hear us, and we know that we have the petitions. That's not we hope so or we might. That says we know. We know. We need to know that God loves us, that God can do anything, which is what he's trying to get across, that we have found the one and only true God through Jesus Christ. We've found his way to heaven. And we can know that he cares about us enough to not only take pleasure in our prayers and hear our prayers, but to actually answer our prayers. He says, concerning the work of my hands, which is anything and everything, command ye me. What a challenge to us to understand, as we read there in Proverbs 15:8, that God actually delights in our prayers. And that's, it's amazing that God is this way, that He takes this much notice of us as His creation, because His creation is quite large. You know, it's just hard for us sometimes to comprehend. But that's God. He does care about us that much. As he said, what is man? As David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We're his. We're his redeemed ones. We're his bought ones. We're his children. He loves us so much. He wants us to stand on that foundation of our salvation, on the foundation of knowing who he is, that he's all powerful, that he can do anything, that he owns everything, that he takes pleasure in our prayers. He wants us to stand on those truths and pray. And don't be afraid to pray big. Because I don't find in the Bible where we're told that we can pray too big. Can't think of one verse where God says, now don't overdo it. Don't pray too big, because I might not answer. He doesn't say that. Matter of fact, Jesus says, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, I'll move a mountain. That's pretty big. Moving an entire mountain. Jesus says, that's the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. So it's not the size of the faith that matters, it's the size of the God that matters. Amen. The God that can move mountains. That's the God that we serve. And he says, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. What a challenge to each one of us to get excited about prayer. Amen.